Praise the Lord. I got a couple of announcements. Jim and Cheryl are getting married at, where are they? Oh, at 2? Is that what? 2 today here in the church? We had a birthday passed, and we got one coming. It's going to be Wednesday, and it's Norman's birthday. Hold up your hand, Norman, so we all know who you are, okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Norman. Happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord. And the other one was Mary Lou. And Sandra was chuckling. She says, Sandra's just older than Mary Lou, and now Mary Lou is as old as Sandra, and says, now you know how it feels. So we'll give Mary Lou the short version. Da 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 da. This is your birthday song. It isn't very long. Hey! Praise the Lord. Bob and Susie have just had an anniversary. 4. And I guess I've got that done. Yeah. Jesus. Praise the Lord. Does any have something that the Lord has done that you want to witness about? Got a testimony today? You got one, Archie? Hallelujah. He got rid of his daughter. No. Gained a son-in-law. Praise the Lord. You knew I was just joking. Norman, did you have something the Lord has done? For those little things. He needs a tool for a house, and the Lord shows him where it's at. Yes. Bob?
Last night, wear a lot of rubber gloves.
So they can hear you.
And lost my lemon ring last night. The mustard came off. I was changing.
The Lord will take care of that pride. Praise you, Lord. You got something? Yeah. Huh? Where's the mic? There's, what he's saying, there's clothes in there. So look through them and see if there's anything you need to help yourself. You know, once you wear clothes, they're used. I just thought I'd pass it on to you. Everything you got on is you, so don't worry about wearing something that somebody else had. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
And nobody's returning our calls, and we've been trying, and we had one. She didn't like Quillen, and so then we didn't have one. And I've just been so just worried sick because I have to have one by Tuesday. So last night we went out to dinner, and I was just stressing over this. And there's a couple that are sitting right next to us, and they look like they were in, I would say desperate need, but definitely financially, because he was saying, well, you know, I'm really sorry, Maddie, for taking you out to dinner for our 2-week anniversary, but, you know, I just want to show you how much I love you. And I was like, my heart was just broken because I've been there. I know it. And we started this conversation with them, and, you know, we sat there and talked at KFC for 2.5 hours. And it was really amazing because she is my brand new babysitter. So, I just wanted to say that sometimes God works in mysterious ways because we weren't even planning on going out to dinner. And we just decided, you know what, let's go to KFC, and then boom. And so, you know, we were able to talk about them and about God and a whole bunch of stuff. And so I just want to say, God is great.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. What happened to Craig? Somebody ran him off? Where's he? Yeah, we'll get him pretty soon. He's got a testimony about his taxi cab ministry. Today I want to look in Psalms 105. And you say, well, Psalms are kind of from the old times, but Psalms are good today, just like if it was fresh ink. We need to understand that it's God's Word, and it's a living Word. It's alive. We sing the song, God's not dead, He is alive. And this Word, I feed off of a psalm or two every morning. It's just something I do. And it helps me through the day, because sometimes I do the dumbest things. You know, I really do. I don't know. It's almost like I've been educated to do them. And yet, the Lord says, well, you know, son, I love you anyhow, and I'm going to help you. And so, you know, then I don't feel so bad about myself, and I get up and go again. The only reason that you'll ever be defeated is you won't get up. The devil's going to knock you down. He's going to push you down. He's going to plague you. And the only thing you can do is praise the Lord and go on, whatever's going on in your life. A lot of us are having financial problems. And I wouldn't need to have hands raised, only those that aren't, and it'd be very few. I think the enemy is attacking our finances, and I'm going to pray about it right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come against the destroyer and the thief in the name of Jesus. Said whatever the canker worm or the palmer worm or the caterpillar has eaten, Lord, that you would restore to us. And Lord, I thank you. We break that curse now, curse of poverty, a curse that's been put against us by the enemy. And Lord, that you supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. We just thank you, Lord, for that. We speak prosperity. You said it in the Word that you wish above all things we prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. We receive that today, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Craig, you want to come up and give us a testimony? That was Psalm 105 is where we're going.
Okay, hello. You know, this coming to church is a highlight of my week, man. I'll tell you right now. It's like I'm on 3 hours sleep right now. So for me, it's a big deal coming here. I look forward all week to coming here. It's like the focal point of my week. So, and I want to say it's because of hanging out, you know, with the saints and the fellowship, you know. So it's cool. All right, so Jesus did a work in the cab again this week. Through Bud, but it's Jesus. I'm driving. He's praying. He's praying. So we get this guy, lady in the cab, out of OHSU, ninth floor, and her son come to the cab, and she gets in and says, "Now drive really slow. I have migraine headaches. They're on medication. They can't do a thing for me. And if you go through any stoplights, I'm gonna puke. You got to go to the freeway." I said, "I can't go to the freeway. It's against the rules. I got to go the most direct route. We're going to go through the stoplights. You got to puke. I'll stop. You can puke." Okay? So, I said, let's call Bud. And, you know, let's get some prayer going here. And I just went right to prayer. And so she says, yeah. And see, the thing is, she told me that they can't do a thing for her. She's on heavy medication. And she said, It's like threat, you know, it's the end. If something doesn't happen now, it's the end. So she had said she had tried to kill herself 7 times this last year. She's bipolar and means manic depressive. And it's serious. So we called Bud. And yeah. Well, it was before 11 o'clock. So anyhow. But get on the phone with, and she starts to pray with you, and I'm going through stoplights now, and she's all of a sudden she starts, you know, she says, she went through the prayer of salvation, the prayer of the Holy Spirit baptism, Jesus the baptizer, and then Bud prayed some other things. Immediately her countenance changed. She said, "You sound like Larry Huck, Pastor Huck." She used to go to New Beginnings Christian Center. And when she had gone there, she was doing very well, and she slipped back into sin, went back into a relationship and to drugs, and then she got these migraine headaches. And so immediately, her countenance changed. She began to smile, laugh, and all the way home, she forgot about the stoplights, and she kept saying, "I feel empowered. I feel empowered inside." I mean, it was complete, 180 degrees, just like that. All the way home, she was ecstatic. She wants to come down here someday. So then we got another, a guy in the cab this week who just, I got him out of, he flagged me down. And he'd just been in jail. It's his fourth time on drugs. And he's a working man. He knows you, he says. From, he used to work, he worked down here in the lawn business, triple one business. Something like that. He knows you. And so anyhow, he's fourth time on drugs. And so I said, let's call Bud. So we call you on the phone. And Bud prays for him. And he prays the prayer of salvation and Jesus the baptizer. And, and I said, what do you feel? What do you feel? He goes, well, I feel something in my chest. I feel a lifting or something in his chest. And he felt the presence of God on him. And he said, well, I need to go back to church. I said, hey, we got our church right here. You know, he said, in fact, when I'm done, I'm going to take an offering. See that little thing there? It's my offering. and you're going to pay. So at the end, it was $13. He says, well, here's a 20. Keep it. It's my offering. Oh, well, anyhow, I was joking, you know. But he got it. He got it. That was cool. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is really easy, man. I get him in the cab. I get people dying. I get people, you know, and I just say, hey, let's call the Rev, you know. So now we got one other lady said she felt something in her chest and also the pain subsided. And one other thing, a guy from SOS has been calling me on the phone. He called Pam, and he was down. He's a Baptist man down at SOS. I've known him for several years now, and he's really a great guy, really a good preacher on the street. But this SOS, he took notice of what's been going on in our little gang here, you know. And so he called me on the phone. He says, you know, I think I'm going to move in the miraculous now. Okay? He says, I feel like I'm going to move into the miraculous. And he says, I want to come down to your church. So he's coming up here in a couple weeks to spend the weekend with us. You're going to get him, right? Okay. I'm done.
Now, I usually tell Craig I'm up till 11 o'clock. Well, the night he calls with a woman with suicidal and migraines, I've been asleep for half an hour. You know, when it says in season and out of season, I did not feel like praying for a sick woman or anybody else. I felt like praying for Craig to leave me alone. But see, there's something inside of me. Even though my flesh, I didn't feel holy, I didn't feel anointed, I didn't feel anything, but God let me sleep. Tired. And yet, when I began to pray, the Spirit of the Lord, He's the one that does the work. And so, whether we feel like it or not, that this Word will not come back void. It'll work. And so I'm laying there and I got done and I said, oh, thank you, Lord, for working through this vessel that really wasn't willing. I mean, I'm willing, but it says the spirit is always willing and the flesh isn't. And you're walking life that the flesh is going to try and keep you from doing things, try and keep you from going to church or try and keep you from praying for somebody or whatever. And the spirit inside says, let's do it. Let's do it now. Let's do it. We can do it, we can do it, we can do it. And your flesh is saying, oh, no, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it some other day. No, we can handle it sometime down the line. And so we need to listen to that voice. This last month, I've done some real dumb things. And the Spirit of the Lord told me if I'd just been listening, I could have avoided them. Nothing, you know, I haven't been going to porno movies or something, so I don't run out here and say, Bud fell. But got to straighten it out. But just like a guy coming and giving him some money, you know, and he just really spun a big yarn. And so 100 years from now, it won't make any difference. But next time, and you know what tipped me over? That little bit of greed in me. He told me something that was too good, too quick, going to make a buck. He made a buck. I didn't. Okay? I should have known better. But I didn't. This little bit of greed says, oh, boy, something for nothing. This is the only something for nothing you're going to get, folks. Jesus. Okay, the rest of it, if you want to learn to dance, you got to pay the fiddler. There's a payment down the road someplace. Okay. But God can give you things from people. They'll just come and give it to you. So, but see, that's through the Lord. But the average public out there wants your money. They don't want to give you theirs. You'll get that one pretty soon. Okay. Psalm 105. I want to read maybe not all of it, but Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. And see, that's what we've been doing this morning, make known his deeds among the people, that he's alive and he does work. Sing unto the Lord, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. You know, people say, well, you're bragging. Well, if I am, I'm bragging on Jesus. You know, I mean, that's just, it says we defeat Satan by the blood of Jesus and by the word of our testimony. See, when we have a testimony, somebody might be sitting here that really needs to hear that. It gives them encouragement that God is still working. He can find babysitters. He can find tools when they're lost. I'm forever praying to find a tool, trying to fix some dumb car, you know, and I don't know where I put this or that, you know, and I'm very organized with my tools. They're here, they're there, they're everywhere, here, there, everywhere, quack, quack, you know. And so I got to pray, the Lord show me where I left them. You know, and forever I'm repenting that somebody stole my tools. And Floyd got a hold of a car that I was working on, and he opened the trunk, and boy, there was treasures in there. The two rubber hammers that somebody stole from me, a couple of wrenches like this and that. I mean, the trunk was full of all these things that somebody robbed me from. I had to repent. They didn't rob me. I took them, stuck them in there, and forgot they were there.
It wasn't in our car, was it?
No. But see, repentance means to change your mind. In other words, if you've, you know, got it in your mind somebody's done something, and you find out they didn't, you really need to pray about it. Get loose for them and for you. And we're good at that. Boy, we're just going to judge everybody, fill them or kill them. And God says, don't do that. Let me take care of it. That's the good news. Okay, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. See, it says there, his strength or his power. Some people say, well, you're after the power and not anything else. Well, listen, if you don't have Jesus, you ain't got any power, so forget about it. See, the gift is Jesus. Once you get him, then the rest of this begins to add on. He's the tree. He bears the fruit of the Spirit. He bears the power of the Spirit. So don't let somebody dissuade you and say, well, you're just after the gifts and not the giver. That's a religious statement, and I rebuke it right now in Jesus' name. You get a hold of the giver, and he will supply those things through you. You know, just like laying in bed and somebody calling you from a taxi cab and saying, I got a suicidal here, and on, and I'm thinking, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Okay, but see, that's the Spirit in me that's getting me through that. 5, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. The marvelous works that he has done. O ye seed of Abraham, that's us, his servant, that's us. Ye children of Jacob, his chosen, that's us. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the words which he commanded 1,000 to 1,000 generations. Remember where it says the apostles ate all the potatoes and there's none left for us? They try and tell you that when Peter died and those guys that there was no power went on. It says 1,000 generations here. You want to count that up? That includes us. Virtually what he's saying, we're equipped until he comes back. He said, I'm going to go. He wouldn't send you out to be a carpenter if he didn't supply the tools. How could you build a house without a hammer or nails or a saw or anything else? He gives you all the tools. That's what the power is for. It's the tools of the trade. It's the true tools to let us proclaim the word and then to see the word happen. See, there's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to do it. And I like the one where the 3 frogs were sitting on a log and 2 decided to jump. How many frogs are left? 3. Because, see, 2 of them decided to jump, but they didn't. See, a lot of us make decisions to do something, but we don't. And so, he just wants to be our friend, and he has little chores for us to do, and he just wants us to do. Touch somebody, pray for somebody, bring somebody into the kingdom, just little things. And all of the little things add up to big things. That's how the church is built, a little at a time, one person at a time. The devil will tell you, what's one person? I don't know, it's pretty important to me. I was one when I got saved. It was real important. So don't ever think and say, well, people someplace are getting thousands of people to come. Well, great. But God wants you to get that little one someplace, that lost sheep, and you need to witness to them and get them into the kingdom. All heaven rejoices. All the angels shout and jump whenever one comes in. Just think of that. We sing that song. Shout for joy and victory resounds in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. The Lord's right hand. Okay. See, we are the temple. Shouts of joy. Oh. Can't miss it.
Jesus!
Yes. 9. Which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath with Isaac. And confirmed the same with Jacob for a law to Israel for an everlasting covenant. If it lasts forever, how long is that? Well, then that means that it didn't pass away someplace down the line. And the Holy Ghost died off and went someplace. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never changes. You got to get that in your spirit, because there's all kinds of sayings and rules and whatever to try and keep you from being who the Lord wants you to be. And how many knows this flesh is dying? Okay? We're not born again in our flesh. We're born in the Spirit. We're a new creation by the Spirit of the Lord. It says old things passed away, things become new, okay? So you have a new mind, you have a new spirit in you. But the old man is still hanging around. And he still wants to be as dumb and as bad as he ever was. So there's a war immediately that goes on in the spirit realm. Your spirit is fighting with this flesh. This flesh man, this old man, he still wants to control. And the spirit that's in us needs to tell him no. The Spirit of the Lord is going to run this from now on, not the old man. See, the soul of man is not converted. So the enemy puts thoughts in our minds. And any of you think in this church today that the devil don't talk to you, I'll pray for you afterwards. Because he's forever planting seed in there. He's putting stuff in there to try and discourage you, put you down. Keep away from Jesus. At all costs, stay away from Jesus. It's like the man that comes here and the devil told him if he came here, he was going to get shot and killed. And he was just scared to death to come to this church because he was going to die. Now, you think that's funny, but it wasn't to him. He was convinced that this was his last day on earth when he came here. We shot him with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. He's never been the same. Let's jump to verse 15. Touch not mine anointed and do my people, prophets, no harm. See, we're the anointed of the Lord. And what it's saying there is that we are blessed and we're special. And the enemy can do certain things, but he can only do so many. He can't go as far as he wants to because he wants to kill us all. Moreover, he called a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go. And made the Lord, he made him Lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Okay, Joseph was one of 12 children. He was the youngest. Abraham, Isaac, huh? Second to the youngest. Okay, I'm corrected. Second to the youngest. Okay, he's way down the line. His brothers get hateful toward him, so they sell him into slavery into Egypt. And then he's in prison in Egypt because he was falsely accused. And he stays there and he stays there and he keeps having these visions and dreams and has wisdom and knowledge because God is working with him. And one day the Lord springs him out of that jailhouse and he becomes actually ruler under Pharaoh of all of Egypt. And then when his brethren come down there and they were starving to death, he supplied, because of wisdom of the Lord, he supplied up grain for a 7-year famine. And so they had plenty of grain. And so this story is incredible because here's a young man that his brothers hated. They sold him to be a slave. And he spent time in prison. He spent all these bad times. And yet God had a plan. And he wasn't the last. Like David, see, David was the youngest of the brothers. And he was out herding sheep. And the other brothers were, you know, somebody. David was just a sheep herder boy. And God called him to serve all of Israel. And so from small beginnings, then the Lord can do great things. And the devil's going to tell you, you're just not anointed enough. You can't, you just can't do it. You haven't got enough snuff or glory. Sometimes my old expressions come back. Lord, forgive me. That wasn't too bad. But see, He's trying to encourage us that we all have the same size Jesus. I don't have a big one, and you got some tiny Tim. It's all the same.
Tiny Tim.
Uh-huh. He gets it. So when we call upon his name, he's there to deliver us, to heal us, to set the neighbor free, to keep the neighbor's dog out of our yard, whatever it takes. God is able. And the more we can believe that and trust and pray about that, and we see these little things happening, then pretty soon we'll see bigger things. Pretty soon we can trust him for the whole thing. See, he tries to get us a little at a time, a little bit, and then we can, our bank account keeps growing in the Lord. And pretty soon when cancer or some migraines or whatever comes along, we can write a bigger check. We can write it out and say, in the name of Jesus, be set free, be set made whole, come into the kingdom with thanksgiving. And something else, this thing about Jesus the baptizer. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. It's just something that happens when people ask for it. And they don't need to know what they're asking for. You don't need to explain it to them. Do you need prayer, brother? Let's, somebody close over there, get back there and lay hands on Paul. Let's get rid of this pain. I bind you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Get your hands off of God's anointed right now. You're a serpent, and Jesus has put you under his feet. Even though Jesus' heel was bruised, he has crushed the serpent's head in Jesus' name. We will have victory in the name of Jesus. Cannot come here and attack God's people. Do not attack God's anointed. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We have victory. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Rebuke that pain and discomfort in his body. I bind you, Satan. I come against you, the blood of Jesus. Take your hands off of him now in Jesus' name. We need have the power. Lord, we got the anointing. You spirit of death, come out of there now in Jesus' name. You spirit of destruction and infirmity, I bind you. Loose him in the name of Jesus. Speak to the respiratory system. Speak to the heart, lungs. Speak to every part of this body in Jesus' name. Gone. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I want to look down to verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. You mean there wasn't just even one sick? He says there was not one feeble among the tribes. And this is all ages of people, and there's over a million of them, and there's not one feeble among the tribes. Not only that, but he gave them gold and silver, money in their pocket to move. And Egypt was giving them everything they had to get them out of there. Because God had called plagues on them. In part of this, it says that there were frogs even in the king's palace. And they were sleeping in the king's bed. There were frogs every place. There was no way to get rid of them. He also sent lice. Have you ever had lice on you? I've never had head lice, but I've had chicken lice. They'll get off of you. But you go to gather eggs, and you look on your arm, you get all these lice. And what lice do is when somebody dies, then all they're looking for a new body, and the lice increase. So it says the lice was like dust, like sand. Can you imagine? You got all these frogs you're stomping on. You got all this lice. You know, God just plagued them, turned the rivers into blood, so that they would let God's people go. And so when they went with gold and silver, and not one feeble among the tribe, Egypt was glad when they departed. For the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud of covering, a fire, to give light by night. And the people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. Here's this big granite rock, you know, some huge, it's like the Rock of Gibraltar. And Moses taps the rock, and God cracks open the rock, and this river just boils out of there. Right out in a desert place. He brings rivers of water to these thirsty people. That's really what happened. I won't get into, Moses was only supposed to hit it once, and he whacked it twice because he got angry, but that's another story. But see, God is able to bring water where there isn't any. And Israel right now in their desert places are growing crops that are unbelievable. Israel says the desert will bloom like the rose. Israel is the top exporter of roses right now. They export roses all over the world. And the land out there is just growing. And see, God has abundantly began to bless them. Because why? They're taking the Jews into a place of safety. Any country that has gone against the Jews has become no country. Their power has just went away. Spain at one time had a great armada. There was the power. They had South America. They had the Philippines. They were all over the place. What happened? They actually ran Jews out in the ocean and drowned them. It wasn't long until there was nobody. Spain has never been anything since. They're just a third-rate little third-world country. They don't have any power. And it's happened to nation after nation who has come against the Jews. And Russia, there's been a lot of chaos there. That was to let the Jews go, but that gate could close. But any country who destroys, look at Germany, they haven't really been a power since the Holocaust. They've got an army now, but it's not like they had at one time. Their army was about the strongest one in the world at one time. And yet now they're I don't know, 10th in the army or 20th or something. And see, it says inside that we have become Jews because it's circumcision of the heart and not the flesh. And so in our heart, when we come to Jesus and receive his power, we become in that same lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise the Lord. He remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. He brought them forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness and gave them the lands of the heathen. They inherited the labor of the people that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. See, he has given us the land of the heathen. Jesus said, I have overcome the earth. So we are overcomers. We're occupiers. Whenever we won a battle, like when we defeated Japan, we put troops in there to keep order. Or the same way in Germany. Or whatever other country. So we are the occupation troops. We're to occupy until Jesus comes back. And we're supposed to destroy the enemy wherever we find him. That's us. We're Ghostbusters. We're in the hunt. And wherever we run into migraines or scoliosis or cancer or... what was we praying for last night? This gal had a bad hip and has these little particles on the bone. So when she moves, spurs. Can you imagine how painful that might be? I've never had that. But see, they prophesied to her, the doctors. And then she was trying to prophesy to her sister, well, it's in the family, you're going to get it too. And her sister says, no, that's Sue. Well, I am in Jesus' name, I'm not receiving this, and you're not going to receive it either. And so we laid hands on her last night, and she could already feel something happening in her hip. Thank you, Jesus. See, this is the report we're going to believe, not the report of the devil. The devil's going to say you're sick and gone, and if your grandma had it, you're going to get it. But we break those curses. And the devil will try and manifest something and get you to bite. Say, oh, the pain is here and I've got it, and, you know, play trips in your mind. That's when we need to take our mind captive to the Word and say, by his stripes we're healed. I will not. And it's like me in the nice warm day sometimes. The devil comes along and says, well, you can sneak off someplace and have a beer. Yeah, well, it wasn't the one that ever got me. It was the 500 afterwards. See, that's the lie of the devil. Just one, you know, whatever it is that he's trying to tempt you to do, just a little bit. But see, it's like how much land does a man need? There's a man in Texas, he owned the biggest ranch in Texas. He said, how much more land do you need? He said, oh, just that's next to me. That's all I need. I just need the guy's land right across the fence. You see, there's never an end to it. Then ask a rich man, how much more do you need to make? He said, just another dollar. Just one more. But see, the one more and then five more, there's no satisfaction. The only satisfaction and peace is in Jesus. It's not in material things. It's not. And we all think, well, if we win the lottery. Have you ever heard stories of those people that's won their lottery? Some of them are in debt. They owe, even though they won millions, because they go berserk. They never had money. They don't know what to do with it. And they just throwing it all over the place. They had one guy in there. He says, how many hats can you buy? He'd won $10 million, and he liked hats. And so he's got a whole house full of hats. He says, how many hats can you buy? Think of it. I wouldn't have bought one, but that was his thing. See, but what would I do? I don't know. But I'd know this when I go in a store and they say, you want to buy a lottery ticket? And I say, I'm even. They say, how can you be even? I said, I haven't bought one. I'm not going to. And they look at you like you're weird. Yeah. You're weird, fella. You ain't spending your money here. Not on that. And I went out of a grocery store one day and I looked at my slip and it had a lottery ticket on there. And I marched right back in there and I says, hey, there's a mistake here because I don't buy these. So what the clerk was doing was putting it on the slip because people buy them all the time and it's a way to make money. Look at your slip when you get out of the grocery store. It's a good idea. I always go over my list. I've had lots of things added to the list. Just as soon as I get to the car, take a look. And how many watches the little register when they're running the stuff up? You're over there, it's three for a dollar, and they're charging you a dollar a piece. Say, whoa, stop. Oh, well, we made a mistake. It doesn't mean that they're evil and trying to cheat you. It's that they managed to change the thing, the little numbers. See, and you're paying what it used to be instead of what the sale price is. A guy tried to charge me $3.95 for a tape, you know, that heavy tape out of a parts store, and the little sign said 50 cents. And I got my slip, and I says, wait a minute. Well, it can't be 50 cents. And I said, well, let's go over and look. Either that or you take the sign down. We went over there, and he says, gee, that's a good buy. But see, I would have paid the full thing had I not been watching. And it indeed was 50 cents. See, it's by two or three witnesses. You got to watch what you're doing. I bought a part for a car that some places wanted $43 for, and I got it for $25. Now, why would I want to pay $43 when I can get it for $25? Same thing, rebuilt. So you need to check what you're doing. Watch your money, because somebody else will watch over it for you. They will. They will watch your money go into their pocket. What's that got to do with this? It's got to do with God cares for us. Every little thing, every part of our mind and body and spirit. He wants us to prosper. He doesn't want us running around with Volkswagens with floppy fenders with a Jesus sticker on the bumper. Jesus saves, and you got this old pelican running around and hardly run. From what? Money? You see, it's not a good image. He wants to see us prosper. Why does he want us to prosper? So he can help somebody else? See, if we're stewards for him, our money isn't our own, our land, our cars, our whatever, and we're in this to help people. He wants us to love one another, not with feigned lips. I mean, you actually have this. And you know what the first part of this whole thing is? Love. He said, if you don't have love, then all the rest of it won't count for nothing. So what comes first? The love of Jesus into our hearts, that he accepted us. And once that comes in, then we begin to reach out to others. We can love them unconditionally. And you have to love people unconditionally because they'll bug you. Did you get that last part? I talked to a young mechanic yesterday, and he says, I love the mechanic work, but he says, the people. I said, hey, he's not too long out of high school. I said, you just join in the world. I said, any place you got people, you got problems. The P's run together, people and problems. But praise the Lord, that's another P. The Lord can get you through all of that. And he can take care of those people. Just turn them over to the Lord. Say, Lord, old sourpuss over there, he's that way every day. Do something for him. Bless him. I went in front of a judge in Portland one time. He was a hanging judge. And I prayed on the way up there. This kid was going to get a year in jail. He knew it. And by the time I got there and all the prayers were done, the judge says with a smile on his face, "What day, what weekend can you serve?" And the kid was so dumbfounded he couldn't even speak. He went, you know, because he knew he was getting a year. And finally, he repeated the third time. The kid said, "Well, this weekend." So he puts him in jail. He was in there for 2 hours and back on the street because the jail was full. Now, what do you suppose he'd have got if I hadn't prayed? Because old Picklepuss was smiling when I got there. And this kid says, "I don't look like the judge that I know." And I said, "He's not." I said, "We prayed all the way up to Portland." And the kid didn't agree with me because he knew he was going to spend a year. He just knew that I was daft, you know, and that's in my belfry. But I know that God answers prayer. And so I prayed some real sweet things on that poor old guy. And God answered my prayer. And so if you got somebody bugging you, pray some sweetness on them. The love of Jesus. Just sweet little things. And you say, "Well, they're not acting that way." Well, don't continually look at your mountain. You got a problem. Here's this mountain. And you know what people do? They keep praying the mountain. They keep praying the problem. "Oh, Lord." And they just go on and on and on. Well, look, moaning and groaning don't get it. Doesn't. Complaining and whining doesn't get it. You need to, in the name of Jesus, get out of my way. I'm going to speak the solution and not the problem. I'm going to speak the healing and not the disease. I'm going to speak the prosperity and not the bills and the bill collectors. You know, the bill collectors can't eat you. They're not going to put you over a slow cooker. Can't eat you. I know, some are pretty big teeth. I know, the wolf's at the front door and the lion's at the back door. But God will see you through. He can see you. I don't care what's going on. He can see you through. And we got to trust Him. If we keep looking at the problem, how many knows it keeps getting bigger? It just keeps growing and growing. And oh, God, you know, it's just this huge mountain. And the Lord says, "Lean it over on me. Tell a mountain to take a hike and jump into the sea and begin to trust me." It's like a lady was here in church and she had not got the job that she wanted. And she called up and she said, "Well, my faith is gone. I didn't get that job. It was promised to me and I didn't get it." I said, "Well, God's got faith." Then the last time she was here, she says, "He got a lot better job, better paying money. She likes it better." See, God had a plan. She just had to wait until the grapes were ripe. So we're hanging on the vine until the grapes are ripe. Amen? I don't know if that's biblical or not, but... Paul? Sure. I like that. It also says in the psalm, "Fret not thyself." Amen. Well, don't hang around the coffee shop crowd. Everything is bad. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. It's just on and on and on. Pretty soon it gets you down. You leave there and you might have got some coffee. They might even bought you a free one, but it wasn't worth it. Don't hang around with those kind of people. That's everything is down. You need pumped up. You need somebody to lift you up. And if you don't have anybody around, the Word will lift you up. But the devil wants to keep you down, put you down. You know why? You'll never do nothing for the Lord. When you're so down that you can't even, you're like a worm on a sidewalk, you don't feel like doing anything for the Lord. You just can't get it going. Yes?
Some people, they try to test you when they know that you know the Lord.
Yep.
I had one this week who said, "Hey, Ronnie," he goes, "I'll give you $5 to walk." But I send it all the time.
Sandra?